Chapter 61. Del Fuenzo called whatever secret number was stored in her phone, and she got the latest update. To say McQueen had dropped off the radar was just a figure of speech. In reality, his GPS signals had disappeared off a computer screen. He was carrying two chips, one in his phone and one sewn in the back of his belt. For 7 months, they had recorded his every move. Now, an hour ago, they had blinked off and disappeared, never to return. Both of them, seconds apart. The likelihood of two near-simultaneous failures was so remote, it wasn't even worth considering. McQueen was in trouble. Reacher asked, "Where was he last recorded?" Del Fuenzo said,
"At his normal location."
"Which is where?"
"A Wadia hideout."
"Which is where?"
"Near Kansas City."
Reacher asked, "Do your people have a plan?" Del Fuenzo said,
"We're not going to involve the Kansas City boys. That was decided a long time ago. They're walled off, as of this minute. Because they can't help us with a problem like this. Their track record tells us they probably caused it."
"So what's the plan?"
"A SWAT team, direct from Quantico."
"When?"
"Rapid deployment."
"How rapid?"
"They'll be in Kansas City in 8 hours.
"That's rapid?"
"It's a big country. There's a lot to organize."
"8 hours is way too long."
"I know it is."
"But we're right here, the three of us. We're 100 miles from Kansas City, which is 2 hours, not 8. There was no discussion. Not that Reacher expected there to be. An undercover agent was down, and he figured the FBI's unwritten codes would be at least half as strong as the Army's. Undercover was the toughest job in the world, and the only way to make it bearable was to make it so the guy in the field knew he was watched over by people who would react instantly if he ran into trouble. They gave themselves 3 minutes to prepare. Reacher didn't need them. He hadn't unpacked. His toothbrush was still in his pocket. He was good to go. Del Fuenzo spent her time writing a note for Lucy. Sorensen spent her time getting out of her pantsuit and into the free stuff from the piles on her bed. She said she felt it was going to be a denim kind of night. Then, in a brief before-the-storm pause, Del Fuenzo looked straight at Reacher and said,
"Remember, Wadia has your name and your description."
Reacher said, "I know."
"And McQueen has almost certainly told them it was you who killed King. Remember that, too."
"What are you, my mother? Don't worry about me." At that point, they had just one weapon between them, which was the Glock 19 from Del Fuenzo's Bible. She carried it in her right hand, with her ID wallet open and ready in her left. Her phone was in her pants pocket. First port of call was Trapattoni's room. His light was still on. He answered Del Fuenzo's knock within seconds. He was confused by her ID. Like the ground had suddenly shifted under his feet. Not a cocktail waitress. Not an innocent victim. Not anymore. And apparently, her ID was better than his. Higher up the food chain. Like an ace of trumps. Maybe because it had been issued by the Hoover Building, not by a regional field office. Reacher didn't really understand the nuances. But the guy fell in line immediately. He grabbed his suit coat, no questions asked, and he hustled with him all the way over to Bale's quarters. Bale put up more of a fight. Apparently he had a bigger ego. The visit started out the same way. Light still on, a fast answer to the knock, genuine surprise at the ID thrust under his nose. Then the guy started to argue. He said he knew nothing about any of this. He hadn't been informed. He hadn't been briefed. Del Fuenzo wasn't in his chain of command. She was an agent of equal rank, that's all. Hoover Building or no Hoover Building. She couldn't tell him what to do. The guy was immovable. He was all the way up on his high horse. Which put Del Fuenzo on the spot. She couldn't put the guy on the line with the mothership. The Hoover Building was not going to back her up. Not then, too cautious. The suits were not going to approve a half-assed nighttime guerrilla excursion by two women agents and a civilian. Too much risk. Too much liability. Way outside the box. All that was left was the power of personal persuasion. Agent to agent, face to face. And it wasn't working. So Reacher hit the guy. Not hard, just a pop to the solar plexus left-handed. No big deal. Just enough to fold him up a little. Then it was easy to pin his arms behind his back while Sorensen took his gun out of his shoulder holster and his spare magazine off his belt and his cell phone out of one pocket and his car key out of another. Trapattoni gave up the same four items voluntarily. and with a degree of haste and alacrity. Reacher put Bale in one armchair, and Trapattoni joined him in the other. Delfuenzo said,
"Your job is to stay here and attend to your duties. You still have two guests, one of which is my daughter. I expect her to be kept safe and treated well."
No answer. Reacher said, "You gave up your service weapons. Where I come from, that's a real big no-no. I'm sure it's the same with you. Do what you're told, and no one will ever know about it. Step out of line, and I'll make sure everyone knows about it. You'll be a laughingstock. Robbed by two women, you'll be a punchline. You won't get a job as a dog catcher." There was no answer, but Reacher sensed surrender. They checked both cars and chose the one with more gas, which was Bale's. Delfuenzo drove. Sorensen sat next to her in the front. Reacher sprawled in the back. 100 yards later, the motherly type in the office played it Trapattoni's way, not Bale's. She undertook to look after Lucy, and she hit the button for the gate at the first time of asking. Delfuenzo and Sorensen and Reacher got back in Bale's car and drove away, around the traffic circle, along the concrete roadway, and out through the gate. They turned right, north towards the interstate. The gate closed again behind them. A car, three phones, a Glock 19, two Glock 17s, and 88 rounds of 9mm ammunition. Good to go.